Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of Jesus on this Thanksgiving Sunday, and greet you in the name of the God of Providence, and as we gather to celebrate the conclusion of our capital campaign. May our worship this day be worthy praise for all that we have been given. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us by our live-streamed or recorded worship. No matter how we have entered this worship space this day, we can all know that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are yet one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. So a few announcements this morning. As always, we're thanking our worship leaders, and we have many of them today who have given of their time and talents to make this worship possible. And special thanks to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer for their technical expertise that's making this worship possible, and also to Pegasus Natick for the broadcast of this worship. I invite you all to take a look at our newly revised Covenant for Our Worshiping Community, which you'll find on the inside cover of your bulletin. One of the things that you'll note is a little different is what we're saying about singing. So we try to let people know that folks know this a bit this week through our link newsletter, but we are encouraging you to sing today hymns and the Song of Praise. But to do so softly behind your masks, of course. So we want you to be exuberant, but we want you to know that if you're forcing air out of your mask, then that probably isn't good for us. So enjoy. And also we have a time, of course, of celebrating in prayer together. And so we invite people who have prayer requests, if you're in person here, to use that index card that you'll find in the pews and write your prayer celebration or concern, and we'll collect that just before the time of the prayer. And for those of you at home, if you have a prayer request, if you would email them to us at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. If we receive them by the time of the reflections this morning, we should be able to incorporate them into our worship this day. So we have a special announcement this morning about pie orders that are happening to help support the West Virginia Work Camp. So we're very excited that the West Virginia mission trip is going to be happening this year, and there is information on the website and also through our church's link emailing that lets you know how to sign up for ordering pies. These are going to be delicious, and they're going to go to support a terrific cause. And so we hope that you will do this. And if you have any doubt about how to place this order, just know that you can call the church office and let Peg know what you desire. Today, as we observe Thanksgiving Sunday, we'll also be celebrating, as I said, our capital campaign conclusion. And as I begin, I want to invite Gail Martin and Doug Hanna forward to speak about our capital campaign volunteers, many of whom are participating in this service this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Gail and I, of course, were honored and had a lot of fun chairing this campaign, but man, was it the work of many, many people. So at this time, we'd like to name all of those folks. We'll call the names one at a time. As your name is called, please rise, please remain standing, and we'll hold our applause until the end. So starting with the steering committee, let's see, Rick Ripley and Sharon Kirby and Ken Pierce and Karen Shirley and Jeff Clausen and Judy Dixon, Jeanette Zaretta, Bill Ramage, Wayne Zaretta, John Wiegraff, and our consultant who's not here with us but is hopefully watching, Jay Turbush. Jay, you can stand if you like. your grandson Liam may know, so we'll ask him later. Jonathan New, Pastor New, and Peg Waters, who may be watching from home.
And all team leaders, they need a fleet of people to help them. So there were many team members who volunteered and came forward as steering team volunteers. Please stand. Bill Ladd, he's not with us today. Janine Keady, Mindy Hoag, Sue Masioli, Lane McDonough, Miriam Jennings, Gwen Ramage, Carolyn Cheever, Deb Evers, Mark Dixon, Robin Clausen, David Coulter, and John Gentry.
And that's not all. I may be saying that later in the service too. Of course, during the summer, we had our sanctuary and kitchen study teams running all summer. They were led by Amy Foley, Steve Evers, and Alyssa Springer. And participating on those teams were Wayne Zaretta, Hank Zaretta, Deb Evers, Gwen Ramage again, Bill Ramage again, Bob Psyche, Beth Canterbury, Sarah Lynn Keller, Nate Keaty, Tom Foster, and of course, Pastor New. So, what a team. Let's have a round of applause for Thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.
So now, as I light this candle here to my left, representing the Christ candle, I invite those who are at home also to light their candles. This is one of the ways we remember that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do many things. This capital campaign has proved that. One of the things that we can do, though, is to continue to be the body of Christ up and about and in the world. And so let us remember that as we light our Christ candle now. And let us continue now with our responsive call to celebration.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It is a beautiful day. Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. For the Lord is a great God, a great ruler above all gods.
In God's hand are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are God's also.
The sea belongs to God who made it, and the dry land which God's hands have formed.
O come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture, and the sheep of God's hand.
Let us make a
For our first hymn this morning, please note that we will be singing an additional verse that does not appear in the hymnal. So this is one of those times when it would be helpful to have a bulletin or to use the projected images there in the monitor. Verse 3 is a newly written verse that is offered in celebration of the success of our capital campaign and remembrance, especially of our spiritual ancestors in whose footsteps we follow and on whose shoulders we stand. Please rise, all those who are able.
Thank you. morning. Please join me together in the opening prayer. Ever-living God, we are warmed by your Son, encircled by your love, blessed by your presence, and sustained by your Spirit. You gather us into this sacred circle of life and give us a song in our hearts, laughter on our lips, and kindness in our touch. With praise and thanksgiving, in the name of the One who is a gift beyond measure, we offer you ourselves and this worship. Amen.
Remaining physically distant and yet intent upon conveying the connection of your Spirit to others, I invite each of us now to share the peace of Christ, placing our hands over our hearts, perhaps, or placing our hands in the air and gesturing to one another in a gesture of blessing, or using the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you. At this time, we invite the children to go their godly play or connect classes, and may God be with you there.
May God be with you here.
And may God be with us here. Good morning. You can go right there. Bye. So in a spirit of thanksgiving to the one provider, God, let us rejoice in what we have been given and in what is ours to give as we receive this morning's offering. Please pray with me. We praise you, God, for every gift received and for each gift we are blessed in giving. For all your goodness, we give thanks to you, the providence that made and nourishes life, the presence that brings meaning and divine and human love, and the promise that gives hope for each new moment. Out of faith and into hope, we are led by your love, and for these graces, we return our thanks, bringing our offerings this day that they might become a blessing to others. Amen.
A reading from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 18.
for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters welling up in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you lack nothing. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine homes that you and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and test you, and in the end, to do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, and he is doing today. So ends the reading.
I invite you to please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At the beginning of this Thanksgiving week, I am struck by the close tie that there is between Thanksgiving and memory. Perhaps this is one reason the Thanksgiving holiday season endures. It's a festival of return, offering the sights and smells of bygone days sometimes, providing strong associations that recall some pretty deep memories. And through it, we may revisit the place of maybe our growing up, or reconnect with family, or recall our younger selves. Indeed, in my own case, pecan tarts have sweetness beyond their taste. Conjuring up my mother's southern cooking and our Texas roots, they gently prod me to revisit my origins and recall my truest self. And now it's a family tradition. My daughter Sarah and I will routinely take time just before Thanksgiving to make the pecan tarts. But there's more, a lot more. We recall how in 1623, Plymouth Colony Governor William Bradford proclaimed a day of thanksgiving to render thanks to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. They'd nearly starved or frozen to death or died of illness the previous winter, and yet the pilgrims were thankful. Their spirits might have been crushed. Instead, they thanked God for getting them through. And this was the same God that on October 3rd, 1863, Abraham Lincoln had in mind as he recalled the recent battle at Gettysburg and the original pilgrims, and asked his countrymen to, quote, set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. So what I take from this is that times of struggle are often moments when what matters most stands out. We feel blessed, and remembering, we may be grateful for the source of that blessing as well. This is why Moses, too, as his people cross into the promised land, without him, by the way, says, "Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power. If you do forget the Lord your God, I solemnly warn you today, you shall surely perish." Now, it would really be easy for us to hear a word of threat here, but there's a lot more happening here. And we know this because Moses goes on to talk about the details. As he says, "Do not forget the God who brought you out of Egyptian slavery, who led you through the wilderness, providing you water and manna, and who is now offering you abundant life in a new land. And above all, when you begin to think that these things are your doing, do not forget that it is God who bestowed on you the power to endure and to thrive." So Moses isn't simply telling them to remember what God has done for them. That's important. But he wanted the people never to forget who this God was to them. A loving parent of beloved children, that they might know and also rejoice in that very God. For our Faith in Our Future capital campaign, we've used a lot of re-words to orient us during this moment in our church's long history. So restore and renew and reclaim and re-engage and recommit. And yet, all of these rest on one other reword, and that is the word remember. Remember. Looking forward, we have yet not failed to remember all that God has done for us in our past, and the spiritual ancestors who did their own part in their own day. And then crucially, we have remembered the still speaking, still providing God who yet lives in our midst, upon whose power we can draw, and of the unique calling that we hear to be God's people in this place and in this time to bless the world. This is what real Thanksgiving is about, returning again and again to why we are thankful and to the source of our blessings, remembering the one who fills us when we're empty, who guides us when we are wandering, who carries us through times of struggle to a land of blessing, a past and a present and a future reality. May we celebrate this Thanksgiving with such gratitude and praise and remembrance in our hearts, and rejoice, another reword, in the prospect of a bountiful future in the hands of a loving potter God. Amen.
Remember, as many of you know, the first time that I came to this church, it was an accident. I'd spent over 10 years in the Boston area looking for a church, and one Sunday, I went to another church, and I had the time wrong, and I turned around, and I headed back home, and as I'm outside, I see people coming into this church, and I'm like, what have I got to lose? I'm already dressed. Let's go. So I pulled in, going the wrong way into the parking lot, of course. Did a couple of 18-point turns and got into a spot and came in. Well, my first visit here might have been an accident. The next 10 years were a conscious choice. I found a community that was passionate about inclusion, the environment, social justice, racial justice, outreach, giving back. I found people who, like me, wanted to find ways to make the world a better place for all people. people who really cared. I even found this guy in a family. This campaign is additional evidence that a church family can come together with so many different skill sets and so many different talents and so many different resources and come together to make a huge impact. I am so very proud of my church. When we had that unanimous vote to pursue the campaign, I cried. I was proud of my church when we had the amazing silent phase of raising money, and I cried. And today, I have my Kleenex ready. I'm so in awe of how this process worked and how so many worked so hard to make it happen. I'm looking forward to the changes that we will make to make this more accessible and more inclusive so that more people are coming into those doors. Thank you for being my church family and my church home.
A few months ago, a group of us, the steering committee, you heard acknowledged, met downstairs to plan this capital campaign. And you could feel almost from the start the excitement and the emotion as we came up with these rewords and other words in the Faith in Our Future slogan and ways to convey our emotion and our love of our church and to trigger in our memories and in yours the kind of story that Karen just shared with us. Because we all have these stories. We all love this church. And it's more than just raising money to do a construction project. When we were brainstorming to try to come up with these words, my mind went to the history of this building and the people in it. Those who 145 years ago decided to spend $50,000, $1.5 million in today's dollars, and probably quite a bargain at that, to build this wonderful structure. And to those who raised money to keep maintaining it and to expand it, put on the additions and so forth. And what they were thinking when they did that and how they were a part of this history and how we will be a part of this history as it goes forward. What we've done over the last several months and what we'll be working on for the next 2 or 3 years, how will the people 50 years from now, our church descendants 50 years from now, 100 years from now, how will they view us? I'm getting a good feeling about it. So it's been exciting, and there have been, as you saw, numerous volunteers who spent a lot of hours putting this together. But I can tell you that most everybody who's been involved with this has gained more. I know I have gained much more from what we've done and working together. We've fed on each other's energies, and we have, I think, come out with more than we put into it. So whether you have been part of that volunteer group, or you're going to be, or you were part of the vote, or you're sitting here enjoying this ability we have in the sitting here in the pews or at home watching today, I think you are all a member of our church family, and it is a tremendous feeling, and I thank you all for what you've contributed, and it's exciting. I'm looking forward to our future together.
Good morning. It's getting exciting in here, yes? So I thought I'd take this opportunity to talk to you a little bit about exercise. Sound good? Well, maybe you'll be willing to work with me if I tell you that you can perform this exercise in the quiet stillness of your kitchen in the early morning, or in the forest with the late afternoon sun streaming through the trees, or in the catchy rhythms of a favorite song, or in the brilliant colors of a painting. And you can practice this exercise even in the soft cradle of our old church pews. You won't have to move a muscle, because I want to talk to you about exercising faith, and specifically about how we all practice that through this perhaps unlikely successful capital campaign. This campaign called on us to have faith in our future. Faith in our future. And I found that having faith in our future when COVID had us anchored to the moment, tied to the now, meant uncovering or discovering true faith. This capital campaign meant that we as a church community had to believe in a future we could not quite envision. And I'm sure more than a few of us on the campaign leadership team and in our larger congregation doubted the wisdom of our timing. I know I did. How could we ask people to invest in a future largely centered on in-person gatherings, in our sanctuary, in our kitchen, and by extension in our vestry, when restaurants and theaters, and yes, faith communities across our country were engaged in a painful cycle of closing, sheltered reopening, and shuttering once again? Last summer, when the behind-the-scenes work of the campaign began, many of us felt stalled out on Corona Boulevard. And we couldn't see far ahead enough to know where we were headed or even how rocky the road ahead might become. There were, we knew, dangers and casualties on that road. Many of us had suffered true losses, loved ones who succumbed to a virus that was both unpredictable and merciless, economic difficulties connected to shutdowns and quarantines, emotional stressors from isolation and, dare I say it out loud, too much together time. Vaccines inspired some optimism, but questions remained. How would COVID end? When? And what would be forever changed about our patterns and routines? What would worshipful and celebratory gatherings look like in the future? Would people ever again hold the large community meetings, lectures, and performances we hoped to welcome into our revitalized spaces? And in terms of campaign strategy, would people be willing to invest in this space with so much uncertainty around us? Some of us even pondered, was it improper to ask? Joining the campaign leadership team and actively engaging in advocacy around the projects we hope will energize life around here called upon me at the gut level. Shortly after saying yes to co-chair communications with my partner in messaging, Jeff Clausen, I realized that our team had been called to believe in hope and actively practice resilience. We were summoned at a time of uncertainty to be resilience, and we took it seriously. The Faith in Our Future campaign became more than a fundraiser. It became a faith raiser of sorts, and we learned that having faith is an action. There is nothing passive about it. Have faith? Okay. Keep the faith? Sure. How about exercise faith? Wow. And so we actively mapped our way out of apathy and the threat of despair with purpose. Restore that steeple? Yes. Renew our gathering spaces? Yes. Reclaim our place and our practice here? Yes. Re-engage with our world neighbors? Yes. Yes, we would recommit, even if it felt like a leap of, well, faith. Through this campaign, it's odd timing, and what I'm pretty sure will be its astounding success, God showed up once again to remind us that in adversity, there is always the opportunity to love each other and to grow. We just had to be brave and exercise. Exercise our faith in a bright future. Just look how much stronger we are now.
I have chosen to comment on our campaign somewhat on the lighter side. So I have written you all a poem. And I call this the four-year ride of our capital campaign because, in fact, this has been, since inception, 2018 to 2021. And with a few phrases borrowed from Longfellow's poem, The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere, I give you the four-year ride of our capital campaign. Listen, church family, and you shall hear of the faithful ride of our capital years. On the 16th July in 2018, at a meeting of the Capital Task Force team, a plan to improve our church was floated, an architectural study was needed, and yay, it was voted. So throughout that year and the next, many plans and meanings, designs, and texts. Though the costs were steep, we must aim to launch a capital campaign. Vicky called the conference, and a pastor named New, Minister of Finance, came to coordinating to explain what to do. So consultant recruited and challenges met, 2019 ended, and we thought we were set. For we had thought of everything. A feasibility study would be done that spring. Volunteers were recruited, and dates they were picked for in-person interviews. But lo, we were tricked. 2020 arrived, and a virus exploded. And yes, we had faith, but we also had COVID. In 2020, the steeple was failing, and we thought that it was bad. But there were synergies to be had. The cell phone companies needed to repair their equipment up those rickety stairs. So Hank climbed the tower of Old First Church, where the cell wires abound on their perch by the wooden stair with stealthy tread, to the belfry chamber overhead. Hank said, they can pay for the scaffolding needed, and all those costs to them we ceded. Now in 2021, we really got going, although COVID was still a bit muddy. The virus abated, we had less fear, and we did the darn feasibility study. Results were amazing. We raised the goal, and a new consultant was hired. Reverend Turbush came on the scene, and we were all inspired. Dr. J called Doug and Gail and asked, co-chairs, will you be? And we said yes, but then we thought we need auxiliary. Doug and Gail prepared their lists and set about to calling the finest folks you'd ever know that we would soon be installing. Rick and Sharon to recruit a team and scores of volunteers to visit families who love our church and have throughout the years. Conversations and faith held deep. The gifts, they were forthcoming. Rick and Sharon adeptly managed, and the results have been just stunning. To Jeff and Judy, we turned for campaign communication. We need logo, theme, and branding to create a big sensation. Articles were written, renew, refresh, sometimes re-edit, and more than one brochure, all designed to capture our target market with allure. Then Ken and Karen to plan events. In this realm, they are not rookies. Who needs that dolphin dinner when we had slate and cookies? Planning in person and switching to Zoom, well, it just seemed to be systemic. But K&K are unflappable when wrestling with pandemic. And to the Reverend Wegraff, we asked for spiritual goals, and his team delivered prayers and reflections for our soul. He made us think of those before who have worshiped in this place and loved this building as we do, with caring and with grace. The team of Bill and Wayne have budgeted and planned, kept track of costs and monies raised with facts at their command. And when this campaign is over and our major work is clear, they will be there to track the gifts throughout the next 3 years. And we have an amazing resource in the office, a Natick native who assisted every team with all things administrative. Humor, laughter, great ideas, and a terrific attitude. To Peg, we owe big thank yous and a debt of gratitude. And now some words must be said about my co-chair, Hannah, who works his magic for this church like heaven supplies manna. He is a man of many talents with many jobs, but he took on more. Just look up at our steeple in the sun and see it soar. Shepherding the projects might cause others to complain, but Doug did all of this and co-chairs the campaign. He says, we can fix the lights, the floor, we can fix the rug. This gentleman is everywhere. 1-800, just call Doug. There are so many people, we cannot name them all, who gave their time and talents and their treasure to this call. The building projects beckon with design work left to do till our sanctuary and kitchen make a ravishing debut. Stay tuned for info sessions and your input that we need. But know the campaign is already a success because of all of you indeed. So the faith in our future campaign draws to its very end, but not the faith of our first church, the faith of FCN.
I want to say at this point, I'm looking at our time, and it's possible that a portion of this worship service will not continue to be live streamed or broadcast. Know that it is recorded, however, and it will be available for those of us if in fact we don't quite make it. But I'm very sure that we are going to make it through the announcements and updates about this campaign. So that's great. As we turn to hearing more about and celebrating the conclusion of our capital campaign, we begin with a special message from our capital campaign consultant, Jay Turbush, who could not be with us here today because, in fact, he is leading a congregation out in Western Massachusetts, but he sent us a special video message.
Good morning. I'm sorry that I can't be with you on the celebration Sunday, but I wanted to have the opportunity to say to all of you how much I've enjoyed working with you over the last 9 or so months. I'm especially grateful for the steering committee that was put together by Gail and Doug. I've really enjoyed working with such talented and incredibly faithfully committed people. They've been energetic, they've worked really hard, and they have led you to accomplish something really extraordinary. It has been a real joy to work with them, and a special thanks and shout out to Gail and to Doug. I was thinking about you the other day and what you are accomplishing through this capital campaign, and I thought of these words from the Apostle Paul. He wrote to the Corinthian church, "The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you've made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough, you may share abundantly in every good work." I have really seen this scripture at work in your midst, as so many of you have given bountifully, given joyfully, given cheerfully, as Paul says. And the result is something really extraordinary. In just a few moments, the leaders of this campaign will be announcing an incredible, incredible outpouring of bounty, of pledges toward this campaign and the goals of the campaign. And how extraordinary. You've done this during a time of pandemic. And you've done this during an interim time when you are in between settled ministers. It is truly an incredible thing that you have accomplished together. And I say, thanks be to God for inspiring generosity.
Good morning. I have the pleasure of updating everyone on how we've done so far in the capital campaign, and how much money this amazing contribution, this amazing congregation, and some from the town of Natick have raised to support the mission and the work of First Church Natick. So, as a quick background, in the spring we hired a consultant to perform a feasibility study, and we had to come up with an estimate of how much we could raise. And we set that number at $600,000. It's a lot of money. But as we went forward, we exceeded that goal. And we ended up, after the feasibility study, with a consultant recommending that we raise that money, that we raise that goal to $750,000. $750,000. That's a lot of money. And then at the kickoff campaign on October 3rd, we learned of a matching gift. And any money that was raised after October 3rd until today would be matched dollar for dollar. So we shifted our focus and we said, we have to meet this goal. And once again, we met the goal. So as of last Friday afternoon, we were able to get a pledge that put us over the top. So now I'd like to have a drum roll if we could. The total raised so far, $913,838. And there's more. Take it away, Doug.
Wow. As remarkable as that is, indeed, there's more. Because you see, we had another anonymous donor, a donor who recognizes the warmth and hospitality and fellowship that a well-designed kitchen space can provide. And so this anonymous donor has given us an additional pledge, which reads in part, "I pledge an amount to cover the costs of the full scope, the largest amount, of the kitchen renovation, to include any updates necessary to the vestry that coordinate the two spaces. Our current full scope kitchen renovation is currently $200,000. It may go higher. So with this pledge, our campaign will have raised over $1 million, which gets us close to twice that original goal of 600,000. Time for some more applause. So, how in the world has this happened? How has our campaign possibly been so successful, especially, as has been mentioned, during this time of such upheaval and change in our lives? My thought is it's through the power of God's bountiful gifts to all of us. That's how. Those gifts first expressed through the strength of this congregation's faith, voting to authorize a capital campaign at such a tumultuous time. Then, through God's gifts to our campaign team and our sanctuary and kitchen teams, God's gifts of energy, of creativity, of tireless devotion, and of perseverance to just do all the great hard work that's been done on this campaign. All our gifts are gifts from God, and our volunteers have been so generous using their many and varied talents to bring us to where we are. And finally, through the sense of inspiration that God has placed in each of you, inspiring you to see the vision of this revitalized building, enabling us to bring the ministry of Christ to Natick and the wider community, inspiring you to pledge your financial support in such remarkably extravagant ways to bring us so far beyond our own estimations of our collective means. To me, at least, exceeding our goal by this much is a clear sign that God is still speaking to us specifically, and I think it's much more than a whisper. So in the spirit of our scripture reading today, we rejoice that God's gifts have given us the ability to get to this day and to this abundance. Let our applause and shouts of praise ring out once more as a testament to our thanks for God's blessings on us all.
Have one more pop-up thank you to our co-chairs, Doug and Gail.
Where's Gail?
Yeah, where's Gail?
Gail.
Come on up. So I'll keep it very short. On behalf of the members of the steering committee, we hope you will accept these tokens of our appreciation. And we just so appreciate the leadership that you brought to this project. And you've done it with generosity and grace. And, you know, you probably thought you were taking on a little part-time volunteer position here, but it's turned into a full-time gig. So thank you so much. We also have a nice little thank you for Peg. I don't know if she made it or came, but we do want to express, again, our gratitude for Peg. As Gail mentioned, she has been just so willing to help us through all of the tasks, which is not easy once you have 12-plus bosses asking for things from you. And that's just one piece of what she's doing for our church community. So thank you so much, Peg, and we will have these waiting for you on your desk tomorrow. Thank you.
Wow. So this is one of those times where we just cannot fit things into 1 hour. So I'm glad that Jonathan reminded folks at home that the entire service and its the recording of it will be up most likely later this afternoon, right, Hank? Excellent. So what's next? What's next? The nuts and bolts, right? To solidify our ideas and move forward with concrete plans. But first, how about some cupcakes? You may have noticed, those of you who passed through the vestry, that while not quite the coffee hour on steroids that we would have had if not for the pandemic, we still have a delicious treat for you downstairs after the service. As you're leaving today, be sure to pick up your own CSC. That is a Celebration Sunday cupcake, all ready to travel home in a to-go container adorned with our campaign logo. Thanks to Karen and Ken and the amazing events team for that special treat. So we'll all enjoy those. But what's next? What's next after that? Yes, yes, it's the nuts and bolts to figure out how best to use this amazing abundance of pledged funds that have been entrusted to us through this campaign. So that means taking all of the good work that the study teams have done this past summer, combined with all the feedback that we've received from you at the information sessions that we held this month, and then narrow down the options to the one or two that really appear to make the most sense for each area. So working again with the architects, we can then refine our designs and our estimates and come back to all of you with our full recommended approach. And then once approved by you, we will move forward with the bids and the contracts and the construction projects. Ideally, we hope to have those initial construction projects going this summer. We'll see. We've had lots of surprises, but we're driving now. So we know that God's wisdom and grace and guidance will be with us as we embark on these next steps. And to help us remember this, I would now like to invite John Wiegraff to come forward at this time and lead us all in a unison reading of our campaign prayer.
Good morning. Just a quick word before we share in this prayer. These are not my words. These are the words, the thoughts, and the feelings that were shared by members of the steering committee in our time of reflection before our meetings. This church is filled with good souls, with good hearts, and good thoughts, and we offer these up to God. Please join with me in reading the prayer. Good and gracious God, may your spirit of renewal stir our hearts, refresh our minds, and strengthen our faith. Guide us as we make plans to restore the spaces in which we gather, honoring our inheritance while building toward our future. Let our work together be a reclamation, a remembering that becomes a remembering, finding new possibilities in what has been entrusted to us, while broadening our vision of inclusivity. In all this, let us re-engage confidently and with faith in our futures and in shared ministry to one another and the communities beyond our walls. And may our work and the fruits of our labor give voice to our dedication and recommitment to courageously carry forward the flame of your great purposes of justice and mercy. Amen.
We come to a time now of being in prayer together, of lifting up those things that we can lift up before our loving God, knowing that the Spirit of God meets our hearts. And so I ask if there are any additional prayer concerns or celebrations that any of you have written this morning that I might bring to our attention. I want us to... Sarah Lynn, you just want to tell us what it is?
Sure. Okay. Can I get this slide? Yeah?
It is now.
Okay. I just want to say in gratitude to God for Carolyn Cheever's artistic skill and talent for this gorgeous, gorgeous Thanksgiving table of bounty that she created for us. And just knowing that that is a God-given talent. So thank you, God.
You know, we've been playing with the chancel area sanctuary. You can tell this, right? I think you've probably noticed. And this piece, actually, as you know, has been to my left as a piece on which the prayer book has been. But it got pulled out. It got unearthed this week. And Sarah Lynn, I think you spent some hours cleaning this up, right? So thank you. Thank you. So a few things that we would lift up this morning in prayer before our litany together. Celebrating Gail Martin and Doug Hanna for all of their work on the steering committee. Once again, thank you. and prayers for families who are trying to be thankful during the season while missing those who are no longer with them at the table. I want us to keep in our prayers as well Connie Sullivan, who has been hospitalized recently for an infection, and so we will keep her in our prayers as well. I want to offer words of celebration for my parents, Ben and Mary Helen New, who were married 69 years ago today. So happy anniversary, Mom and Dad. And of course, before we begin this litany of Thanksgiving, we also would lift up this church, and in particular, as we prayerfully discern how best to use those wonderful, generous funds that have arrived, as we discern those things together and all the details of capital campaign projects.
Join us together in prayer as we offer a litany of thanksgiving using the response, "We thank you, God." Give thanks to God, for God is good. God's love is everlasting. Come, let us praise God joyfully. Let us come to God with thanksgiving for the good world, for things great and small, beautiful and awesome, for seen and unseen splendors.
We thank you, God.
For human life, for talking and moving and thinking together, for common hopes and hardships shared from birth until our dying.
We thank you, God.
For work to do and strength to work, for the comradeship of labor, for good humor and encouragement.
We thank you, God.
For marriage, for the mystery and joy of flesh made one, for mutual forgiveness and burdens shared, for confidences kept in love.
We thank you, God.
For family, for living together and eating together, for family amusements and family pleasures.
We thank you, God.
For children, for their energy and curiosity, for their brave play and their startling frankness, for their sudden sympathies.
We thank you, God.
For the young, for their high hopes, for their irreverence toward worn-out values, their search for freedom, their solemn vows.
We thank you, God.
For growing up and growing old, for wisdom deepened by experience, for rest and leisure, and for time made precious by its passing.
We thank you, God.
For your help, Holy One, in times of doubt and sorrow, for healing our diseases, for preserving us in temptation and danger.
We thank you, God.
For the church into which we have been called, for the good news we receive by word and sacrament, for our life together in Christ.
We thank you, God.
For our spiritual ancestors, for their legacy of mission and resources entrusted to us, for the example of those who believed in the future life our congregation now enjoys.
We thank you, God.
For all the saints of our church, dead and living, for those who have given generously of what they could with their time, talents, and treasure to provide this spiritual home, for all who yet believe that our best days are before us and who have made personal sacrifices to ensure them.
We thank you, God.
For your Holy Spirit, who guides our steps, brings us gifts of faith and love, and prompts our grateful worship.
We thank you, God.
Above all, O God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his example of radical inclusivity, for our hope in him, and for the joy of serving in his name.
We thank you, God.
We thank and praise you, creating and sustaining God, for all your goodness to us.
We thank you, God.
And let us affirm the God of providence, asking all things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
go from this worship, beloved, to reap the harvest of God's love. Go from this worship to sow seeds of justice and peace and compassion. Go from this worship to be nourished, knowing that the God of our past, our present, and our future is ever a part of our lives. This worship is ended, that our service may begin. Go now in the peace of Christ.